The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles
in your soul. Yes, it does. Does it settle in your soul, Kat?
It settles in my soul, and it is the soul of Jefferson.
Morning, everybody. This is Terry Raposa and the First Lady of Jefferson, Janet Chandler. How are you, my dear?
I am perfect this morning. I am ready to go. I am so energized by this new red wave that I see not only in the country but in California.
Well, we're going to talk about that. I don't want to burst your bubble, but we'll talk about that. We're streaming live from downtown Reading, 96.5 FM, where the music does sound better, 1460 AM. We are your talk radio, and we are streaming live at KCNR1460.com, 1460.com. So today we're going to be talking a little bit about the elections. We have a special guest coming in at 9:30, and we'll be talking about possibility of a recall here in Chester County.
Which we do well.
But anyway, I do want to start with what Jana was talking about. You know, we had this thing. I looked at maps all morning. I got up about 5:30 this morning. I'm looking at maps. I'm going through data. And, you know, we see this red wave in California. Well, here's the deception of the red wave. The deception of the red wave is that, in case nobody noticed, we have one man, one vote in California. We are a democracy in California. We have a monoparty House in California. The great red wave did not produce anything, but we lost a seat in the Congress, because of our great red wave. And the problem is the land mass is where you see it. That's not where the numbers of people are. Unfortunately, and that's why we talk about representation, and Jim will be talking about that in a little bit. But I want to go over the reality of what we see on that red map. LA County has 9,606,925 people in their county. That's double the second largest county in the United States of America. And the second largest county is Cook County, Illinois, with 5,062,578. Now, Texas is about half, about 4,800,000 and 4,500,000 in their largest county in Texas. So you have LA County at 9,606,925 people. San Diego County is 3,295,298 people. Orange County is 3,121,138 people. Santa Clara County is 1,876,949. And all those people, if you look at that, all the people in the red area don't even add up to LA County. There are no people in the red area that's redded out in California. In fact, if you go to another area and you look at the rural counties, we've got 400,000 in Placer, 200,000 in Butte, Shasta 180,000, Sutter 97,000, Yuba 87,000, Tehama 64,000, Plumas 19,000. Lake County is blue. They have 68,000. Yolo County has 220,000. Trinity County has 15,000. And just those three counties almost wipe out the red area in Northern California with 12 counties up here. I mean, the reality is the land mass is different. The counties have voted different. But if we flip someone like Plumas, where you have 19,000 people, but we didn't flip Orange that has 3 million. So the reality of the red map is, to me, a bit deceptive, because in essence, there is about a third of California when it comes to population that's red. And that's what I think the research really has to be made there.
Well, of course, you're looking at it purely as a numbers game. I'm looking at it as a psychological game. And what that red map shows me is that psychologically, a lot of people are willing to try something new. We are not mired in the old blue counties that we have seen in the past. They have voted something different. They're saying with their redness, no matter how many people are in that county, maybe it's not working.
That's a good point. And the other thing that's a good point is the fact that we need to be looking at the Senate, state Senate races and the state assembly races. But the whole point is we need state split because of the fact that the land mass and the people, even if there's 40% of the people in Los Angeles County, let's say that those people were voting red, it's never going to be shown there because we don't have a federal model of government. But the reality is there's twice as many people that are in the blue counties that made them blue. Now, when you look at the Senate race, the state Senate race, some of the red counties that are like San Bernardino who voted for Trump voted for a Democrat state senator. So when you look at what's happening in California and you take the whole thing into perspective, it's deceptive because it's a population thing. It's not representation. And that's what Jefferson's all about, is having that representation.
And you've nailed it. So many times people think that Jefferson means a state split. And that isn't what we're after. We are after representation. And we're willing to look at all the different methods of getting that representation. State split is one of them. From what we have done in the past, that seems to be maybe one of the only options left. But we could also try to increase representation. We could put in an initiative to change the Constitution to get more assembly people, more senators. Of course, with a state of almost 40 million people, that makes it a huge, unwieldy number of representatives. Maybe we ought to submit an initiative to change the Constitution so that we have generally one senator per county, which shows the federal model, and it goes back and gives more representation to each county. Maybe that's a goal. Maybe that's where we should be putting our efforts. We are not married to one particular technique, one particular method. What we want is representation, however we can get it, to solve the problem of not having anything go our way in the northern counties because, like you say, the numbers in L.A. County are going to defeat us every time.
Well, and that's the thing, too. What was the number you said for L.A. County? 9 million?
9,606,925. That's the largest county by almost double in the United States of America.
Okay, it holds one quarter of all the population as far as the number. 9 million, and California is, what, 38, 39 million? So it holds a quarter of the population hostage. Or it represents one quarter of the population of the entire state, and L.A. County is essentially holding hostage the rest of the state.
Yeah, that's a great point, man. And they also have 11 senators out of the 40 that represent their county solely, and four others in the Senate that represents parts of L.A. County.
And other parts of the other counties neighboring.
Right.
Right, so that means 15.
15.
15 of them.
Yeah.
Out of how many?
40.
Okay, see, who's going to win that one?
And the way you can tell what's going to, and see, that's the issue. It's, I don't, the good people of the state of California want representation. I put a
Absolutely.
Call in to James Gallagher last week, and I'll call him again this week. At one time, he did present a bill taking the 40 senators. I think it was 2016 or 2017, mm-hmm. where he was taking the 40 senators in the state of California and dividing them up more equally. For example, maybe 20 counties in Northern California would get four senators instead of 11 having one. But L.A. County still ended up with, I think, eight in his methodology there.
Mm-hmm.
But unless we go to the federal model of government where every county has equal representation in the state Senate, and then, of course, the assembly can be based upon population, I don't see a way of changing anything.
And we did have that at one point, didn't we?
Before 1964, we sure did.
So it started when? Up until 1964?
Well, actually, 1966. See, the thing, 1966 is when California adopted one man, one vote, Reynolds versus Sims. They didn't adopt it immediately. Okay, some other states did. We didn't. We adopted it 2 years later.
Okay.
So as we started to, and it's funny because in 1967, that's when the Board of Education got stronger.
Oh, really?
They became the number one lobbying group. It's funny how that kind of, so it was, it's really funny how that all fits together, but that's a subject for a different day.
All done by design.
But I think some of the things we have to look at is we have to be realistic in what we're, what the value of this is. Is it a good thing that more counties are going red? Yeah, but look at where they are.
Right.
I mean, you know, you could take, again, the 23 counties that, that have signed declarations in the state of Jefferson, and they don't even add up to a quarter of the population of LA County.
Right.
And if you add in San Diego and Orange County, that's another 7 million people. I mean, the idea of a democracy and the situation of a democracy is what we have in California. It's a democracy. And even at that, that's being kind. But we have to stop this rhetoric. I was on the phone with a friend of mine. His name is Steve Stern. We were talking about the issue of representation as opposed to democracy. And we have every pundit on the air, and I know, Janet, this has been driving you crazy, I know, because my friend is a constitutionalist. She knows it. She understands government and how it works. And to me, I mean, it's got to be driving you crazy hearing these guys saying democracy the whole time when we are a
republic. The democracy can work at certain levels, and the closer you get to the people, the better democracy works. But you can't have democracy with 340 million people. And I am fed up with all of these people who want to do away with the Electoral College. If we do away with the Electoral College, then the small population areas will have absolutely no say ever. You might as well just ask the people in the big cities who they want to have be president, because they're the only ones who will wield any power at all.
Amen.
So if you have a question or a comment on anything we're talking about, feel free to call in. It's 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567. So as we start looking at this, these different issues, I know Huntington Beach now, the city of Huntington Beach, has told Newsom to go pound sand. They're a charter city, and they are going to do and have been doing and are sticking to voter ID. Which is really a pretty interesting situation there. I'm glad that Shasta County turned to a charter county. I got a call from Fresno from a good friend, Tammy Brown, and she is the president of what is the name of her group? I believe it's Grassroots Strong. And she was talking about the issue of representation. We were talking about that. And here's Fresno County. They have 1 million people.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a pretty good-sized county for a blue county.
Yes, it is.
You know, and if we had more of those, it'd be great. But anyway, we were talking about Huntington Beach.
For a
Huntington
blue county Beach. Or a red county?
Did I say blue?
You did.
I'm sorry. It's because of my old age and my senility.
That's why I asked.
I know. That's why you're here to straighten me out, brother.
And I was looking at the map when you said this. No,
it's red. That's red county. That's why I'm getting excited here, because I think that I love what Huntington Beach has done, because they Newsom passed the bill saying that they couldn't do it. Passed a flipping law.
Yeah.
And now Huntington Beach's mayor is saying, nah, I don't think so. You know what? Nah, I don't think so. We're going to stick with it. Tough. Too bad.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing it anyway. But again, how do we fight it? We go to court. Oh, my gosh.
Never works.
You just say no. That's what this guy's doing.
Yeah.
So if we have all these counties, and here's where the strength comes, I think, Janet, I want your take on this. All those counties that are red, no matter if they're small or not, how about you just start telling Newsom no?
Exactly. And right now is a perfect time to do that, because he is a lame duck.
Right.
He has 2 years left in office. He cannot run again. He's termed out for governor. And this is our chance to strike. Just say no. What's he going to do? If enough people say no And remember, too, that in that two-year period of time, we need some good, strong candidates for governor to run against him. Now's the time to start running. I was looking at some YouTube videos, and I came across Donald Trump, who was running for office in 2022 and 2023. He wasn't sitting around waiting for 2024. He was already giving his ideas for how he was going to govern for his second term in office 2 years before the election. That's what we need to have happen in California. Let's start campaigning now against Newsom and against whomever may run in his place.
We needed to start that yesterday.
Exactly.
Yeah,
you know, and that's a great point, Janet, to your point, which was excellent about the counties. Here's where we use the strength of the red counties.
We've got a sign here that says Mark Baird, Baird for governor.
Way to go, Wynn. You're right on, brother.
But okay, I think he would be a great governor of the state of Jefferson.
He'd be a great governor for the state of Jefferson. And I know he's listening, so he's probably
cringing
right now.
Shall we print up the campaign signs
now? Yeah, let's just do it now. Yeah. That's right.
Done.
Boy, we're in trouble. Anyway, the strength of the red counties, because there is so many counties, is the strength of the fact that if we did have a senator per county, there wouldn't be an issue.
That's correct.
See, and that's where the strength is. The real strength is not in the population, but the real strength is in those counties. But they have to unite and say no.
Well, that's like you said, in 66, they took it away. Once they took it away, the strength was gone.
Gone.
We were neutered.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, truly.
If we're going to have two houses of our legislature, why should they both be elected on population?
Right.
If that's what it's going to be, let's just combine them and have one big house. What difference does it make? Why do we pay for two different ones? Unicameral if they're not going to be any different.
And that's how they have a super majority.
Yes.
And look where we are, folks. Look where we are.
Yeah, I mean, you've got, and that's the beauty of that. But see, the understanding, the people that are talking about the red counties are talking about it like it's a great victory population-wise. No. Because it's not. It's only a victory if we enact being a republic, if we have the correct representation.
Right.
And nobody's talking about that. As you did last week, Janet, you gave a great oratory in the beginning. And it was good. It was really good.
It was my sermon.
It was your sermon. Sermon by Janet. This Sunday.
Yes.
So anyway, it was very, very good because it explains that. Again, it all goes back to representation. It all goes back to the federal model of government. I mean, we cannot continue with this one man, one vote crap.
It has to change. We have to either split the state, increase our representation by having more senators and more assembly people, or get one senator roughly per county. You know, we could do a couple of them. Why are we wedded to this 40 senators and 80 assemblymen?
Because they like it that way.
Yeah. It would take a constitutional change, but we could do that at the same time that we change it to one senator, one county. And we know that if there was a fight because the Supreme Court has declared, you know, we can't give representation to rocks and trees, the Supreme Court right now is willing to look at a change in that policy.
Oh, he has been. Clarence Thomas, really, he's chomping at the bit to get rid of Reynolds
versus Sims. If we could just get something there.
The
problem is you have to go through the federal government in Ninth Circuit in California, and it just seems like Kimberly Mueller gets every case that we file.
Oh, every case.
Yeah, done by
every
design.
Case.
Done by, well, she's the chief magistrate, you know, so she probably gets to pick and choose what she wants to do.
But there are other good judges on that in that court.
Yeah.
And there is hope. I think about Lawrence Van Dyke, who is on the Baird versus Bonta, writing his scathing opinions against Mueller.
There you go.
Well, why don't we start by just saying no?
Exactly.
I mean, and why go to court? Okay, I'm gonna stretch this out a little bit. The 10th Amendment, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anything not delegated to the federal government? To the government of the United States is what?
Delegated to the people.
No. If it's not delegated, it's what? Reserved.
Reserved. Oh, yeah, okay.
To the states and the people. Yes. So if it's reserved, that means ownership. You can't delegate something if you're a lower power. You can only delegate something as a higher power.
Right. And if you delegate, you can always take it back. You're not giving it up forever. It's just temporary.
Right. And so that's the thing. And in the federal government, that's why we would have you know, an amendment to the Constitution. Two-thirds of the states get together. They say, we want to either have you not do this anymore, or we want you to do this instead, or this is what we want you to do that's new, a new delegated power we're going to give you. Two-thirds get together. Three-quarters of the two-thirds say, that's what we want. And boomba, you got yourself an amendment. In California, in Article 18, Section 3, we as the body, as the electorate, have the power to change our constitution by initiative. Not every state has that.
Right.
So, and I know some states have it to where you can't even recall your governor. I know Georgia, you can't recall a local official. And our next segment's going to be about recalling a local elected official.
Oh, why would anybody ever want to do that?
Oh, right. Goodness sake. Why in the world would you want to do that?
Why would the people want to take charge of their own government?
Well, that's the whole point.
And
whatever's not
house.
Delegated,
yeah.
Right,
yep.
Is reserved. And I've heard congressmen say, reserved to the states and the people. No. The words of war or the people, because if the states don't do it, guess what? It always comes back to us.
Yep.
The problem is, we don't know this stuff, and we don't act like we the people. Well, we the people. Well, okay, let's act like it.
Own it.
Act like the gentleman did in Huntington Beach and said, okay, we're standing pat. We're not changing our policy. We don't care what he does. We believe that Gavin Newsom is creating laws that are unconstitutional. Duh.
Do we have elected officials in Shasta County who are willing to stand up to the governor and say, no, not so much. We're not going to do that.
We might have one or two.
And that's why we, the people, have that responsibility to make sure that the people that we do elect will stand up to the governor and won't waffle and wishy-washy and, well, they won't give us money and all sorts of excuses as to why they don't want to be strong.
Right.
They need to be strong for me. I elected them to be strong for me. Not for them, but for me. They represent me. They don't represent themselves.
Amen.
Yeah, I mean, that's so well put. And that's the whole issue here. We just don't, we're not getting it. I mean, how many times, Janet, have you heard somebody saying, after seeing some egregious law that Newsom and his minions have put through, and they say, I didn't vote for that. That's because you live in a republic.
That's right.
You don't live in a democracy.
But the people you voted for should have done a better job representing you. Yes. And I will not be specific, but there are laws in this state that I do not follow because they are not constitutional.
There you go.
I'm afraid to ask what those are.
Don't ask. Don't I ask. Won't I'm tell.
Not going to.
Don't ask. Don't tell.
I'm afraid.
Don't be afraid.
I'm afraid. That's the whole problem, is that people are afraid of the money. The money, they're going to take the money.
Well, right now with Trump and his absolutely stunning announcements for some of his cabinet members that he's appointing, we are talking about the Department of Education, and should he just cancel it and do away with it? And it's a good idea sometimes to look at what we're doing and say there's no reason for doing that. Let's just stop doing it.
Right.
And that's the way it is with some of these laws in California. If you can't come up with a good constitutional reason why I should obey that law, then I'm not going to.
There you go.
Well put.
It's called nullification.
It is called nullification.
And that's what Huntington Beach is doing. They're nullifying the law that says you can't ask for ID. And it's a valid thing for people in a republic to do when the government is out of control. They nullify what is not valid.
Well, the whole thing boils down to the dumbing down of America, i.e. California specifically, because this is where we reside. But our populace has been dumbed down through the education system, not knowing and understanding what you're exactly talking about. Right?
You don't know what you don't know.
Exactly.
And for two generations, we've had teachers who go through these teacher colleges and are spoon-fed things that are not true or not valid or not necessary, and they don't know what they don't know.
Exactly.
They're ignorant.
Well, with that, we're going to go off to our break. And after the break, we have Richard Gallardo coming in. He's going to be talking about recall. Time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Ooh. Turtle Bay's fifth annual Redding Garden of Lights is back for another fun-filled holiday season, open on select dates from November 22nd through January 5th. Featuring over 10 acres of outdoor illuminated gardens filled with 2 million lights, don't miss this year's new additions, including new light displays and premium ticket packages, plus holiday-themed food, drinks, music, glowing swings, model trains, and much more. Redding Garden of Lights is presented by Mercy Medical Center Redding. Buy tickets now at turtlebay.org.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Redding and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
Looking for a great way to spend your Sunday? Come down to Wind River Resort and Casino and indulge in our Sunday brunch. Available from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. End your weekend with us and get this all-you-can-eat brunch for $45 with a River Club card or $55 without. Kids under 10, eat for just $15. Gather your friends and family and enjoy our wide variety of specialty entrees, perfect for a relaxing Sunday morning or afternoon. For menu or complete details, visit WindRiver.com or call 1-800-280-YOU-WIN. Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Everybody has been dealing with the availability of homeowners insurance in Northern California. Companies not writing your home insurance anymore are leaving the state altogether. Siskiyou Insurance has hired a specialist specifically for dealing with a homeowners crisis here in Shasta County. He specializes in what the market is doing, coverages, and which companies may be able to help. Call Brian Dews at Siskiyou Insurance Services for your home or auto consultation. Siskiyou Insurance Services, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
Yesterday lasted a really long time.
It sure did. Welcome back, everybody. This is Terry Raposa, Janet Chandler, and Whit Carpenter back.
Good morning.
With Jefferson State of Mind. If you have a question or a comment, phone number is 530-605-4567. And we are here with our friend Richard Gallardo, and we are going to give Richard the floor. He has a something he wants to talk about. A wonderful word that worked in 2020 called recall. Go right ahead, my friend. The floor is yours.
Good morning. Can you hear me okay? Am I good on the volume?
Yep, you're what? Good. You're good.
What? 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 Yeah. I don't know what possessed me 2 weeks ago to decide it's time to recall our district attorney, Stephanie Bridget. I'm still pondering that, but I'm here. So, right? We're still packing the snowball. We haven't rolled it down the hill yet. We're kind of in the exploratory phase at the moment. Yes, we've done a recall recently. Had a great team of folks, but it didn't happen without the public support and the votes, right? So the DA has, in general, just not done a very good job in the opinions of many, and that would be her selective prosecution, her lack of prosecution, her persecution. There will be examples of that coming out. Of her using her office to criminally persecute people. And here's the interesting thing, right? San Francisco, they recalled their DA 2 years ago, 55%. This last election, 3 weeks ago, Alameda DA recalled 65%. That's huge. Hmm. On the same ticket, Oakland mayor recalled 63%. And that county, Oakland especially, their crime rate has been horrible for decades. Decades and decades and the crime, gang problems, etc. So the people in, now I don't know the politics of Alameda County. I would think the majority of the Bay is probably left-leaning. I'm going to assume that.
It is.
But there are probably some pockets of you know, some moderates and some right-leaners. But, and I don't know the population of Alameda County. I did not look that up. But they had to get 10% of the registered voters in Alameda County to sign their recall petition, first of all. And that's a bigger number than Shasta. Trust me, Alameda is bigger than Shasta County population.
1.6 million.
Wow. So they needed 160,000 petition signatures just to get it on the ballot. Whoo, doggy. So my point is, you know, there are district attorneys. We call them, I'm not saying this is our DA, but we've heard this term, George Soros DAs being spread around the country. Also state attorneys general, by the way, being put in place over the last 10 years. And they tend to want to, how do we say this? Turn the victims into the suspects. Turn the victims into the criminals. Okay? And by the way, we have an example of that here, which I'm still vetting. But if I can vet that and corroborate that, that story will come out, by the way. You know, and Miss Bridget, when you see her news releases and everything, she tends to really lean towards rehabilitating the criminals. A lot of her statements tend to lean that way, as opposed to prosecuting the criminals and keeping the public safe. And to me, that lends to the genre of a George Soros type district attorney, where that's their motto, that's their MO, modus operandi. So again, I'm not connecting her with that, but she sure acts very similar to those types of district attorneys. Before I forget, I was on Freedom in Action yesterday, called in. Oh, probably 8:30-ish for about 20 minutes. So everybody go to kqms.com and look at that, listen to that archive. I was on Sovereign Minds last Sunday. I don't remember the time frame. I think it was the second hour that
11
I called.
11 o'clock.
It. 11 for maybe half hour or so.
I think you were on for the whole hour.
Okay.
I don't know if you did this subject, but you were on for an hour.
Okay. And so, again, we're exploratory right now. I explained Alameda County, San Francisco. This is all fresh in everybody's minds. This is California. Are recalling DAs bad mayors? That's great. That's excellent.
Oh, don't forget George Gascon in L.A.
Oh, the DA in L.A.?
He lost the election.
Okay. Not a recall, but in essence, it was an election where...
It's a recall because the people said, you're not coming back.
Yeah.
Just a little cheaper.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It was still an election where the voters said, bye-bye, don't let the door hit you on the way out. So, you know, I think it's time. And again, Miss Bridget has 4 additional years because she's been in for 2 years since the 2022 election. The state law changed where all DAs and sheriffs' terms were realigned with the general election. So all DAs and sheriffs right now today are sitting in a 6-year term. So she has 4 years left. We can't keep her around for 4 more years, not doing the same stuff she's been doing.
Can you give us some specificity on some of the things of why we'd recall her, something a little more specific?
Well, just in the last 2.5 years, and again, I'm still doing research, and I'm still gathering research from other people. You know, there was the Zog Fire Settlement, right, where Stephanie sat on the Children's Legacy Board, and she steered $7 million of that money to...
Almost eight, 7.8 million.
Yeah, to these kids, I don't even know what this program does. They allege to help, you know, sexually abuse kids and stuff and traffic kids. They allege that, but we haven't seen any proof of it. But that money should have been intended for fire victims. Mm. And she steered it, yeah, to kids. So that, you know, and of course, right, we're not going to relive that. Let's go here. I'm looking right down my list here, folks. Give me a second. Yes, I have a list. I have many lists. I talked about this recently. The Westwood Roundtable Pizza Shooting, where I think it was one murder, maybe two.
There were two murders.
Two murders.
Three were shot.
Three shot, two murders.
And the witnesses said that when the shooting was going on, a whole bunch of cars dispersed. So there had to have been a lot of activity with a lot of people. Go ahead, sir.
So, you know, and the suspect there, 6 months prior, he was involved in a shooting and a Jack in a Box. There's a picture of that in the news, of this kid holding a gun. And if it was a self-defense shooting at Jack in a Box, I'm sure that story would have come out. It never did. So it was likely a felonious act. And that kid was still roaming the streets to then kill two people. I mean, are you kidding me? My opinion is DA Bridget has blood on her hands. That kid, when he shot at Jack in a Box, should have been in pretrial confinement for multiple felonies.
Wow.
There's another story I'm developing, and I'm just going to, you know, like a rock across a pond, I'm just going to be very generic about these things because I still have to vet them. But I told you about, you know, the Soros DAs, and she's not that yet. you know, turning the victims into criminals. We have a case like that now where a guy went to a private property to confront squatters, vandals, thieves, et cetera, et cetera. And, of course, he had a firearm on him because he wanted to protect himself. We'll see how this plays out.
Was it his own property?
Those are the questions I'm still needing to ask.
Okay.
So far the story I'm getting is that, the DA turned the tables on him and he's the bad guy because he tried to go and protect some property. And, so we'll see what goes there. West Valley hazing. Okay.
Yeah.
The information I have is there was sodomy involved. I've heard that from several people. That wasn't just a strict hazing, I'm going to pour water on your forehead stuff. The information I have from more than one source is there was sodomy involved in that West Valley hazing, and the DA did not prosecute anybody there.
So that would be rape.
Can I ask you a question about that?
Sure.
Is that solid, or is that just is that semi-speculation, or is it solid? And the reason I ask is because the coach of that high school is now somebody who's a proponent for a new 501c3 here.
Yep.
And wants to, I guess, house abused children and women. And I tried to look them up,
right.
And maybe somebody can call in. And we tried to look up, but we couldn't find anything on them as far as what money they receive or anything on a 501c3 that gave us any solid information. Go ahead, Rich.
So, and another example, the Carlos Zapata trial. She uses, you know, three DA attorneys to prosecute misdemeanors. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? What felonies were not being prosecuted and heard in court because those attorneys were spending time on misdemeanors? Are you kidding me?
And how did that
now, happen? I'm not poo-pooing misdemeanors, right?
Right.
That office should prosecute a little bit of every kind of a crime so that the public says, yeah, I can't go out and commit misdemeanors, vandalism, because I could get prosecuted. So I'm not against prosecuting each type of crime, but, right, they have to pick and choose. They don't have enough time. They don't have enough prosecutors, investigators, and time to prosecute all crimes. Of course they do not. So they have to selectively choose which ones they're going to go after.
Well, in that case in particular, went really quickly through the court system. It got in there. Well, I mean, above and beyond others that were more heinous.
So this goes towards her ineffectively managing her office and putting resources, right? People and time and taxpayer money, putting resources where other DAs would not have.
Right.
Okay. Here's another one. So.
But couldn't that just be a judgment call?
A judgment call. Unfortunately, in California, the district attorneys have like 99.9% judgment latitude over just about everything they do.
Gotcha.
There is almost no accountability to the DAs
in
the state of California. They almost have free room and board in that respect.
Okay,
the Pinckney, right? Splashgate, right? That's where the Zapata trial came from, Splashgate. So after that incident at the restaurant, the Pink went somewhere and obtained a gun, came back in and issued terrorist threats. He's going to kill Carlos. Where's Carlos? With a gun, right? This is all on court documented records in the Zapata trial. Why did she not prosecute Nathan? Okay. Was that his gun? Where did he get it from? Was it loaded or unloaded? Where was it stored? There's a lot of potential crimes. And the terrorist threats with a firearm is a felony. Absolutely. He's not prosecuted.
Right.
I mean, are you kidding me? No, we're going to prosecute Carlos for misdemeanor, but we're going to let the Pink go on possibly multiple felonies.
Let me ask you this. I mean, when I was at the court, I'm sure you were too, and I remember the DA saying that regardless of what Mr. Pinckney did, anything he did was irrelevant if it didn't pertain to the specificity of the case at hand. That's what he told the judge, and the judge said that's true because this other case would be something entirely separate and has no relevance to the issue of Mr. Pinckney having allegedly water thrown at him. Go ahead.
Well, I wholeheartedly disagree with that statement.
Well, I never said I disagreed or agreed with it. I just said that's what it was.
So, 2022, her prosecution rate, her case rate went down considerably the first half. We have the statistics already from 2022, but we're gathering additional statistics on this matter, and those will go out for public consumption. Again, misallocation, misuse of her resources. The allegation is that I personally saw this during 2022, some of her district attorney employees on social media posting about voting for Stephanie Bridget. And I'm looking at the days of the week and the times. And they were weekdays, and they were all over the map on the times. It wasn't at their 10 a.m. break, their 12:30 lunch, and their 3 o'clock break. These postings were all over the map. There was no consistency other than, gee, Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, and they're all over the day. Probably they were doing that on the clock, more than likely. And there was a multitude of them, okay? So that's gonna come out some and specifics.
To your point, I know that at the Board of Supervisor meetings, a lot of times her employees were there, almost every time they were there. I mean, was Tuesday their day off? All of them?
Now this is a really long list, and we're getting short on time. So what I want to try to, there's more. Oh, trust me, there's more. But again, I want to talk a little bit about the recall itself. Okay, we need 11,500 signatures
countywide.
Countywide. This is the beauty of it. When we did recall Shasta, we only had 3 of 5 supervisorial districts to collect signatures from, and we got 10,000 plus over those 3 supervisors. Now we have all 5 districts to collect. Not many more. 11,500 plus we need a buffer. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What would you suggest as a buffer?
20%, 20 to 30%.
Depends on who's counting.
It's going to depend on who's counting, on who's. Yes, absolutely. It's going to depend on who's vetting the signatures. Absolutely.
Yep. Double it.
The Nikki Chang thing, right? The DA sent investigators to 2 of the main recall Shasta leaders, right? Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Ronnie and Alyssa. They had DA investigators knocking on their door.
Yep.
I have a list. Trust me.
Yeah.
So and then by the way. I don't mean to be jumping all over the map here, but...
No, you're fine. Go ahead.
But we got to gather a team. We had a great team for Recall Shasta.
Mm-hmm.
We're not likely to get all of them back. Hopefully some of them will come back. But we know how to do this. We've done it before. We need a team. We'll need some money, right? We need money for radio ads and printing costs and this and that. And just so everybody knows how this process works, we file what's called a notice of intent. There's a time frame for the person who's named in the notice. In this case, it would be Miss Bridget. She's got a time frame, I believe it's 7 to 10 days, to respond to the notice of intent. And then also during that time frame, we have to file that same notice in the paper. Do you remember /S?
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yes.
Well, this time it's only one recall, so no /S/ necessary.
Oh, my God.
We're only recalling one. Unless somehow somebody throws other elected officials on, but I'm not going to go there at the moment. So notice of intent, we have to file in the paper, and then within, I think it's 7 to 15 days, we file 2 copies. We have to format the actual petition itself, and then we file 2 of those with the registrar of voters. They have like 15 days to vet those as to content and form. And then as soon as those are approved and they're given back to us, the 160-day clock begins. 160 days.
Wow.
We have 40 extra days because it's a countywide recall with over 100,000 voters. The key is we have over 100,000 registered voters. That's why we have the 160 days. That's why we only need 10% of the registered voters, because we're over 100,000.
So then if you get all the signatures that you want to acquire well before that 160 days, you just turn them in, you submit, get things going. Sooner, I would assume.
Yeah, and the time frame, again, this is a 12 to 15 month process. So we started in January. We can likely get this finished and get her on the ballot for March 2026 primary.
Okay.
And so we won't have a special election that costs us $400,000.
Very good.
She'll just put it into the March primary. This is one more line on the primary.
Okay.
Wait.
Isn't that a June primary? Because it's not a presidential election.
Maybe.
That would be a gin maybe primary.
Maybe that, and you're probably correct, but I'd need to research that.
Okay.
But nonetheless, once the process is done, we turn in the signatures to the registrar. They have 30 days. They have 30 days to either do a, they can do a random sampling depending on the number of signatures we turn in, or they have to vet every signature.
Okay.
So, and that's in the law. And then once that's done, once that 30-day clock is over and they say yes or no, you're good to go. Now they have to see when the next election is, and there's time frames, and it's like a 6-month window, I believe. If there's another election within 6 months, then they're going to throw it on that election. If not, then it'll be a special election.
Gotcha. Okay.
But you know what? What's a good DA? What's the value of getting rid of a bad DA and hopefully bringing in a good DA? Is there a price tag to that?
Well, minimum $6 million.
As
Ben pointed out by one of our board of supervisors.
That's right. $6 million is what they spent.
Yeah.
What we heard that they spent
on their own special election.
On her own election, that was taxpayer money. Now that I would think would be something that needs to be investigated.
Yep. Oh, there's
by the DA's
again,
office.
There's more information coming.
Right.
Yeah. There's more information coming. You remember the Mexican restaurant owner on Eureka Way? He had a 15-year-old girl. She was either visiting or working there.
Yeah.
Was sexually something. Yeah. Touched, attacked, I don't know. And the Stephanie Bridge just sat on that until our supervisor, Kevin Cry, had an interview on his radio show. Mm-hmm. Oh, gee, I'm back a week or two later. All of a sudden, this guy's got charges. Oh, is that a coincidence? Yeah, of course not. And so we need, again, we need a team, and I'll give my contact information here, towards the end.
You still have 9 minutes. You're good. Keep going.
Yeah, there's just so much information.
Well, that's okay.
There's so much information to put out.
Well, just, you know, the specificities are really good. Go ahead, brother.
And we're going to have more. So after the show yesterday I did on Freedom in Action, I put out my phone number and email address. I had three calls.
Sure.
Three calls in one day to my hotline. And I'm not going to go into the specifics because I haven't returned those calls yet. I'm going to return those calls today. But these are people that have been slighted by the DA, either persecuted or lack of prosecution, or in one case...
They could help with the process of recall.
We want their stories.
Yeah.
And of course they're going to... The one guy says, I'm absolutely going to help you. But, and I'll tell you, I'll just tell you what the voicemail in general said. There's a guy in jail now, 5.5 years, has been, the DA has, tried to bring him to court twice, both missed trials, and he's going to trial a third time. So I'm going to return that call today. That's probably been in the news. So, once I talk to this person, it'll probably come back to my memory.
So is he held in jail pending this case?
She said he was still there. 5.5 years he's been in jail.
Pending this case that hasn't gone anywhere?
Two missed trials, and they're going to bring him for a third trial. And she says Brady violations. She didn't say planted evidence. Fabricated is the word. She said fabricated evidence, Brady violations, right?
That's
the lack of disclosure.
Right.
Failure to disclose.
And our DA's office likes to do that.
Oh, gee, we heard a lot about that in 2022, did we not?
Yes, we did.
From the person who ran against her about multiple Brady violations?
Yes.
Seven.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you very much.
Seven.
So I'm just saying... She's not leaving us breadcrumbs to give her reasons to recall her, just like Moldy.
Right.
They're leaving us loaves of bread to pick up. This is so easy, it's not even funny. And the political will is here in the state of California. I gave examples earlier. People are done. People are done with bad governance, bad DAs, bad mayors. Call them what you will, right? Mm-hmm. Look what happened with the Board of Supervisors. Look what happened with Gateway 2 years ago, right? People said, nope, we want conservatives in. Look at the city of Reading right now, Danuka and Latow. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people are done with the establishment status quo.
Yeah.
They're done-ski with it. And I think we can recall her extremely easily. It's just putting a team together and the effort. We know how to go out and gather signatures. We've done it before. I just think this would be so
You know,
easy.
Here's the thing about the recall, and I everything you're bringing here is great information. I'm glad you're sharing this with us. It's really good, very educational. They, you know, what does she do? She resigns, she leaves, she gets recalled, and then she lives happily ever after on our dime.
Yes.
Okay, go ahead, my friend.
No, I'm with you there. Where's the true accountability when all they do, what'll happen is if we get the signatures and turn them in and they're like, yep, you're gonna get recalled, here's your election date, she could just walk away, governor will hand her a judgeship somewhere in a blue county, right? And she says, oh, it's been great. You know, I'm needed elsewhere, right? All that BS, you know, exit, you know, gobbledygook crap. Ooh, sorry. Yes. You know what I mean? And, yes, where is the accountability? Well, unfortunately, in our criminal state of California, there is not a whole lot of accountability here other than the court of public opinion and kicking them out of office. But that's okay. The point is we get her out.
Right.
The point is we get her out. And this one case that I'll return today, the voicemail about the Brady violation, the fabricated evidence. I mean, we're talking federal violations, right? 18 U.S. Code, 242, 241, 42 U.S. Code, 1983, the civil rights violations under Colorado law. Mm-hmm.
Well, right? Would that be up to the federal attorney general to bring charges?
Yeah, well, those are federal statutes. That's a federal, but it can be a federal civil rights case, just like the Rodney King cops way back when, right? They got acquitted of all the criminal stuff, yep. And then the victims and everybody came in and sued them civilly. 42 U.S. Code, 1983. So Stephanie Bridget is not off the hook. Okay. If these people that I'm going to be talking to say we just got to hook them up with a good attorney. And then connect all the other Brady violations under Stephanie Bridget's tutelage.
Can I ask you a question about that?
And then she gets sued civilly, and then she's living in a box in 5 years. Well, How about that?
That's good, but let me ask you a question. Can that be done now while she's in office?
Of course, absolutely.
So it
she's
can be done now. We don't have to wait till she's gone. Absolutely. They can go after her now.
Absolutely.
Well, maybe that would be, just saying, you know, if you have a couple of people filing a Title 42, 1983.
Yep. But again, what does it come down to? Money for an attorney.
Money and an attorney. Yep. Well, you know, $400, $500 an hour.
Floated around attorneys.
There's a lot of good pro bono firms around the country. We have several on the West Coast, Pacific Justice Institute. I don't have them all memorized, but there's a dozen or so that I
can. Lex Rex.
There's several that were like, ooh, I can sue a sitting district attorney and maybe the county. I don't know, right? If it's a civil lawsuit, then the county's likely separate. The county's likely separate if it's a civil, it's on the person. Right. But I mean, just think about the notoriety there, right? Mm-hmm. So since we're almost out of time, I want to give a phone number and an email out. And again, we're still exploring. We're still collecting. We need to build a team. And here's the thing, all right? People have to be brave. They have to be brave. We're going to need proponents for the notice of intent. I believe it's anywhere from 10 to 20. I'd have to look it up. But we need proponents to put their name and signatures on a piece of paper for the filing of the notice of intent. So we're going to need some folks. Trust me, my name will be on number one on that piece of paper.
So how many people do you need on that?
It's going to be 10 to 20. I need to look up the law and the statute on how many. But we're going to probably need 10 to 20. It's going to be similar to when recalled Moldy and all them. But we have to be brave, okay? The cockroaches don't like the light. And the DA has persecuted criminally people before. Mm-hmm. She has. Mm-hmm. And as far as I can see, she's still doing it, and I'm going to confirm that. We have to be brave and say, you know what? We're going to put our names, faces, reputations out, and we'll see if she comes for us. Let's see if she sends DAs knocking on our door. You got to be brave. Okay, photograph, video, everything that happens once you become involved with this recall, photograph and video everything that happens that you think is suspicious because the cockroaches don't like the light.
You want to give your number and information?
Yes. So the phone number is 530-962-5168. That is a hotline that I check, 2-4 times a week. I do not check it daily. And I just created an email this morning. Are you ready?
Yes.
Brand new email. Recall DA Bridget. Spelled BRIDGETT. Recall DA Bridget at protonmail.com. I just made that this morning. Yes. And my phone's already ringing. So time's about up. More to follow on this, folks. We have a lot of work to do. It can be done. We've done it. I've already given the stats. This is not a 7-10 split.
No.
This is almost a strike.
Almost a strike.
This is almost a strike. I think we can do this very easily. Seriously. Thank you again for the time today.
This has been great information.
Brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life. Your health. Your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.